Coming up this week, we're talking tech at the NAB show in Las Vegas with the people behind IPDTL and Playout One. Plus, we'll hook up with James Cridland, who's there as well, to find out what's been exciting him at the event. And in David Lloyd's Radio Moments this time, a big birthday for Graham Dean, 21 years since the launch of Home Truths on Radio 4, and Beacon becomes the final station of the first wave of ILR.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Before we take you to Vegas, though, let's chat to Radio Today's Roy Martin, who's made it back from Switzerland in one piece. Hello again, Roy.
Hello, Stu. What were those initials you had there? ILR. What does that mean?
That means independent local radio.
No, never heard of it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, the second ILR station to launch was a radio station called Capital Radio. I don't know whether you've ever heard that on
Capital
194, 95.8 VHF.
That sounds like a good name to roll out across the country, maybe.
Well, funny you should say that, because it's happened this week.
What?
Have you listened to much of Capital Breakfast since it started?
I did, actually. I was listening from just before six to a little radio station I set up in Blackburn called The Bee. It doesn't appear to be called The Bee anymore. It seems to be called Capital Lancashire. And just before six, when it launched, there was a token split link to say welcome to the new radio station by Roman. And then it kicked off with the rest of the show, which sounded like it's been there for the last 6 months.
Yeah, it sounds fresh and slick and everything like that, doesn't it?
It does, actually, yeah. The content obviously isn't aimed at us. And the most people who complain about the show are of similar age to us, I guess. So, but the people it's aimed at is obviously are obviously listening. Yeah, it sounded good. I can see it being there for a long time.
And they've got a new TV advert, which is a little bit quirky, so we'll probably get noticed. It might grate after a little while, I guess, but it depends what they do, the creative, and move it on with the cereal packet stuff.
Yeah, things like that usually just go hard straight away and just, you know, dominate everything for a short period of time rather than just hang around willy-nilly for months. So, yeah, I'm sure that will be a big short blast of creativity coming out of a cereal packet.
So also in Leicester Square this week, Pandora has started on Heart Mid-Mornings. That was announced last week, taken over from Toby Anstis. And it's nice to see somebody who was a promo person handing out car stickers ending up on the biggest network show in commercial radio.
Yeah, and good luck to Pandora. She left the global stable for a while, didn't she? She went over to KISS, but clearly she's gone home for a good offer. So good luck to Pandora. And if she does half as many years on the show as Toby did, then she'll be doing quite well for herself.
More consolidation this week. Another station sold. It's always exciting. We say, oh, what's been bought now? In this case, it was Bob FM, which has been sold to Communicorp.
Could Global have bought Bob FM? Would Global have wanted Bob FM, or would it make sense for Communicorp to buy it so that it could just network with the station up the road? Do you think they're in collaboration about this? What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
They're saying, right, go on, Mark, you buy that one, I'll buy this one, and once it all comes together in a few years, we'll have it all sewn up between us.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
doesn't happen, surely.
No, well, I mean, obviously the area that Bob covers has got a bit of coverage from the existing Heart station, and I guess the London stations get out to Stevenage a bit as well, do they? But you know, not being from the south, I don't know the geography necessarily, but yeah, it has a fit with Heart in Watford that Communicorp have already got, and I suppose it's another case of buying a transmitter rather than buying a station and its building and its people, because they don't need to do anything with it, just put some existing output out on it.
Indeed, who would have thought Heart would arrive in Hertfordshire?
Yeah, well, it used to be called Heartbeat, and it changed its name because of Heart, I think, didn't it?
Well, it changed its name, who knows why, but yeah, it was Heartbeat, and then it was Jack, wasn't it, for a while, and then it became Bob, and yeah, to stop it naming itself to any other blokes' names, it's going to be changed to Heart, female-friendly.
There we go. Another new national station, national in inverted commas station. We talked about it on the podcast last week. It arrived this week. It's Country Hits Radio.
Hello there, I'm Baylen Leonard and this is Country Hits Radio. Welcome along here where we celebrate country for all. Country is many things. Country is a lifestyle. Country is a vibe. Country is cold beers on a Friday night and a pair of jeans that fit just right. Country is something you can sing, dance, laugh, and yes, sometimes even cry along with. It's three chords and the truth. And it says things that sometimes we can't put into words. This is country music, and it's all for you.
Today's best country lives right here. This is Country Hits Radio. Got a little
southern drawl in my tongue. So a strong start from Country Hits, and their weekend programs I dipped into a little bit here and there when I could get it to work. They had a couple of teething problems with the voice devices where it didn't like Country Hits Radio. It was trying to play me country music on Amazon Prime or give me something else completely, but I think they're working on fixing that.
You've got to own your name in the smart speaker world, haven't you?
Absolutely. So, yeah, so well done to them for getting that on the air, and lots of luck to Country Hits Radio and James and Gary and the team who are programming that. It was a podcast live event on Sunday. It looked like it was very well attended. So, again, well done to Matt and Phil and the team behind that. And they've announced the nominations for the podcast awards, and there's a global nomination. I didn't think Global entered other people's awards.
No, they're getting good at doing events, aren't they, Matt and the team?
Yes.
So good luck to them for the next one, and well done on the first. Yeah, we've got
Chris Moyles.
Podcast awards with Chris Moyles. Now, did he actually enter it, or did somebody do it on his behalf? Is this a listener award, or is this something that one of his producers says, right, we're going in for that?
No, I think it's got to have been put in. It's not something somebody else has nominated. I think the team must have entered it.
So maybe a change in strategy at Global, then they now enter awards, maybe. Who knows?
Well, yeah, but there we are. Lots of nominations, obviously, for the BBC, and tons of independent podcasts as well, and a real mix of topics discussed on some of those podcasts that are nominated. So they're being handed out in May at the Podcast Awards in Central London.
As part of Radio Audio Week.
That's absolutely right. Hey, I know you like new jingles. Would you like to hear some new jingles?
Me? I don't know what you mean.
The biggest hits, the biggest throwbacks. Across the UK. It's Radio. The biggest hits. The biggest throwbacks. Across the UK. Hits.
Are they good ones then? I can't tell a good jingle these days. They're new from Wise Buddha for hits. Are they good?
Are you losing your anorak?
I think so.
Yeah, they are. They represent the hits, which is what a jingle package should do. It should represent the music that the radio station's playing. And I think they'll sound really good. There's a demo in there with songs from the charts. So, yeah, they sound good. And we love Wise Buddha. Anyway, they're one of my favourite sponsors.
Talking about favourite sponsors, we're going to be talking about a lot of tech companies on this podcast. So it's probably wise here to get the ad in early for CleanFeed. Have you tried it yet?
Oh, CleanFeed. Tell me about it, Stu.
It's a great way of connecting. Maybe you're making a podcast. Maybe you're making a radio show. Maybe you've got a guest who's somewhere different to where they normally are for your show or your podcast.
Like I am right now.
Like you are right now. CleanFeed is a great way to hook up via your browser, and they're really going at the podcast market at the moment. So if you're a podcaster, you can use their new features, including multi-track recording. It looks really, really good. Check it out at cleanfeed.net. As we say, great quality. You can connect in decent audio and record it all within your browser. There's a free version. There is a paid for version as well. And it only takes you a few minutes to get signed up and trying it out. So give it a go today at cleanfeed.net.
I will. Thank you.
Let's mention as well tributes to Bill Heine, the former Radio Oxford broadcaster, 30 years on the air at Radio Oxford, sadly passed away this week because of a battle with cancer. And we've got lots of radio events coming up, including the Student Radio Conference, which is in Swansea next week.
Next week already, 16th to the 18th of April. The radio festival is taking place soon as well, as we mentioned, part of Radio Audio Week, which also includes Tuning In. That's the 13th and 14th of May, respectively. And then a little bit later, we've got the, as we mentioned, the Podcast Awards and Radio Days Europe Podcast Day. It's all about the podcast these days, isn't it? And it's good that the radio industry, or certain people from radio, are getting into the podcast scene, like creating, you know, the Podcast Live and the British Podcast Awards. It's all done by radio people predominantly. So it's good that we're getting into that space before these podcasters get into their own sector and do their own things. We can't be having that, can we?
So that's all coming up. Excellent. Right. Have you got your anorak zipped up?
Why? What are we doing now?
We're going on a plane to Vegas.
Come on.
Well, we're not, but lots of other people are.
Broadcast Bionics brings you Phone Box, Oasis, Virtual Director, and many more innovative solutions for creative radio people. Come to bionics.co.uk and find out more.
This is the Radio Today programme, and we're heading for Vegas now to the NAB Show 2019. It's been going on this week, and I'm delighted to say we're hooked up in quality with the In Quality stand to talk to some guests. First, let's introduce Kevin Leach, founding director of In Quality, which runs IPDTL and also has some new products that we're going to learn about on the podcast. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Stuart. Pleasure to be here.
And thank you for hosting us at your exciting stand as well.
Hey, it's no problem. This is what the technology's for. So, you know, if we can't do this, what can we do?
Also, let's welcome Dave Briley-Jones and Phil Johnson, directors from Radio Station Solutions. Are you at your first NAB show? It's the first time you've been there?
Hello, Stu. Yes, I am. And I think Phil is as well. And it is true when they say in America, everything is bigger. we're very, very in awe at the minute, aren't we, Phil?
Certainly are. It's incredible. It's absolutely brilliant. I mean, it took us about 25 minutes to get a taxi here, and then about 15 minutes to get in past the hordes of people trying to get through through the entrance. I mean, it is unbelievable. It goes back to the days, in my opinion, of, well, imagine, you know, go back 20 odd years. We used to go down to Birmingham to the SBS, and imagine that by like 30 times, so 30 times bigger than that. That's kind of what we're seeing in this. The North Building, is it? This is the, what's it called, Dave?
The North Hall. Yes, but you know, if you're interested in radio technology, then this is the best place to be in the world right now.
Well, Kevin's connection is working really, really well, because kind of talking to you three, I'm thousands of miles away back home in the UK. I'll just point that out. I didn't go to Vegas, where everybody else in the industry seems to have gone to Vegas. I'm sat back at home at midnight as we're recording this. And you all sound like you're in the same room. It's better than some of the connections I get to Manchester or London. So I don't know what you're doing particularly, Kevin, to make it work very well this time.
Well, I always have to say that I've done nothing. My colleague and technical director, to Thomas Auger, who is actually here at his first ever public event for the company, because he doesn't like meeting people. He's the guy who makes it all work. I'm just, you know, I don't know, I'm just here moving faders backwards and forwards.
So on your stand as well this year at NAB, you've gone all out because you're streaming the whole thing live for like 3 days.
Yeah, I mean, I'm beginning to wonder whether it was a wise idea to take on so much, as well as trying to do the selling, the face-to-face selling. But actually, I would rather do this. It only sets us apart from the other stands. You know, a lot of the stands here are doing face-to-face selling, and I wanted to put on a bit of a show to attract people, and so that we've got something to put out there on the internet as well.
And people in the UK might have heard of IPDTL, which has been one of your main products over the last few years, but you've got new things that you're launching at NAB. One of them is Sipta Audio. Another thing is Hybrip or Hybrip, or however we say that.
Well, let's go with the first one.
tell us about Sipta Audio, first of all, because this is, I think, for you, quite an exciting development.
It is, and it's actually been in IPDTL for the last few years, has the technology, but we've never really made it public so that it can be user-friendly. SIP is a protocol that has been around in telephony for making phone calls across the internet for many years now. Most, you know, if you think of like a Cisco phone in an office, you might know it as VoIP. That's probably running the SIP protocol, and that's the protocol that for the broadcast industry we can use for connecting between devices. You've heard of Lucy Live, you've heard of Comrex and Tyline. All of these things can talk to each other, but there's never been a simple platform in the middle to allow that to happen. They can all talk to IPDTL as well, and having SIP.audio accounts for those devices is what allows that interoperability. So finally, we're working towards a stage where I could dial Stuart at SIP.audio, not knowing what facility you've got, what hardware or product you've got, and it's regardless of that, it will connect from my device to your device.
So it's a kind of replacement for an ISDN number, I suppose. So instead of me in my studio having an ISDN number at some point, I'll just have an address that somebody can connect to by whatever means they see fit.
Exactly that. And you know what? On top of that, it also can connect with ISDN. So you can dial an ISDN number from a SIP.audio connected device, and you can receive an ISDN call in a SIP.audio connected device. So finally, all these different systems are being pulled together, and that's what SIP.audio aims to achieve.
And one of the things, obviously, that you can do with your system is outside broadcasts and getting on air from somewhere remote. Let's bring Dave and Phil back in, because we'll talk about your playout system in a minute, but one of the new things that you're working with on your playout system is that kind of remote functionality. So I guess OBs and using IP technology to get on air instead of an ISDN line, and being able to control and do things with your playout system remotely, is kind of piecing everything together, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, that's where everything's going now. That's where the future is. And just like the guys here at IPDTL, you know, you fire up your Google Chrome browser and you can talk as we're doing across the world. We're developing something which is coming out in the next couple of weeks called WebVT, which is going to allow our users to open up a web browser and then voice track their show, whether they be in Dallas on a station in the UK or whether they be in Yorkshire on a station in Winnipeg. Doesn't matter where they are, they can actually voice track into the system and have full functionality as if they were sat in the studio doing it.
Because up until now, for a lot of the systems, you've had to kind of download software, and then that doesn't work on a Mac if you're a Mac user and that kind of thing.
And that's the big thing. We get a lot of users saying, love the software, but does it work on a Mac? And then we have to, you know, tail between our legs and go, no, not just yet, but it's coming. So this actually gives us not only Mac compatibility for remote presenters wherever they're in the world, but also we're trying to make it work on iPad and also Android tablets as well. So you may not have a computer in your bag, but you know, if I had my iPad with me now, I could plug a microphone in and I could do a show on whatever station I was on. Phil, in his other capacity, is managing director at Radio Newark, and I know we've been working obviously together on this. For you, having people coming in is not always an option, is it?
It isn't. I mean, one of the things that community radio across the UK has to have when licenses are issued is an open door policy for volunteers and guests to be part of the station. And with Playout One the way it is at the minute, it's great on the one hand that our volunteers don't have to come in to do live shows. They can pre-record, they can voice track shows using the Playout One remote voice tracking app. But we wanted to go one stage further and basically tell these guys who aren't massively technically competent. They are fantastic presenters, but you know, it does require a little bit of IT knowledge to get everything together for them. What's more easier than just basically saying, you know, your web browser, and they'll go, well, which one? Well, anyone. Well, just navigate to this site, which is ours, log in, and away you go. And this is why, you know, from their point of view, it's simplicity for them, because this may sound a little bit of a cliche. It's all about the content rather than how we build a thing. And for me to go to our guys and say, don't worry, all you need to do is crack open your web browser on whatever platform you want and basically go to our website and away you go. And they are extremely excited about it.
One thing that we've been working hard on, and I'm just looking at, you know, a screenshot now of IP detail in action. We wanted to make it simple so that, you know, when you're doing your show, you're not focusing on the technology. You're focusing on what you're saying into the microphone, and the technology is doing it for you, because you don't have to think about it. Like, we're not even thinking about it now, are we? We're just talking as if we're in the next room. It's that way, really, that we're thinking.
Yeah, and obviously there are lots of playout systems, and we probably should mention the ones provided by Bionics and RCS as sponsors of Radio Today. And I know you guys advertise
great
with us
systems
as well.
They are too.
Absolutely. But in terms of the products that you're offering, they're targeted not necessarily at those big groups like the Globals and the Bowers of this world that are using products like RCS, but more at the community broadcasters, the student stations, the digital stations, because it's affordable as a product for those smaller players.
Yeah, absolutely. We know where we're pitching this product, and we're not about to walk into Ashley Tabor's office or, you know, Bauer's office and say, you need to be putting this in, because that's not what we're about. We're not about going after the same client. What we're about is offering great quality tools for a price that is also very competitive as well for, like you say, the community sector, the small broadcasters. I was going to say the independent sector, but we don't seem to have many of those stations left anymore. And also, you know, the people that just have a passion for radio and want the tools to do it like the big boys do, but they don't have the cash pots to do it. You know, hobby radio is fantastic. Internet radio is absolutely fantastic because it opens up a platform to you, to me, to anybody that wants to get involved. And I think that's wonderful.
I think we missed off the list the excellent Myriad from Broadcast Radio as well.
Yes, they
get a soulless mention now, you see, separate from the others.
Absolutely. I was just going to mention as well, and then we're going to talk about it in a minute, but we've just been past the RCS stand and they have got something very, very, very nice, which they're developing. So happy to talk about that as well a little bit later.
Yeah, let's just go back to Kevin. We talked about the kind of markets that you guys are targeting. In the UK, Kevin, I know the US is one of your biggest markets, hence being there at NAB in Vegas to kind of tap into a bit more of that American market. But in the UK, it's a mix of radio stations using it and voiceovers using your way of connecting instead of ISDN.
Yeah, the voiceover market have been really good to us here in the US, mainly due to the ISDN switch off and needing an alternative method, and because we were able to bridge the two so that you can actually appear to have an ISDN line and actually your own ISDN number here in the United States. That's worked really well for us. And the radio stations, likewise, you know, they've tried so many other options. You know, ISDN works if you've got an ISDN line at each end. You often haven't. There are various other solutions that stations have tried. And the thing with IPDTL and browser-based solutions is the simplicity. You're probably carrying a computer anyway. You connect a microphone to that, and you've probably got a computer in your studio that you can connect through to a clean feed channel on your studio mixer, and that's it. You know, you've got everything that you need.
And since you used the C word, they're an advertiser on this podcast, so let's mention Clean Feed as well, who are at NAB. It's a similar kind of thing to you guys, but a little bit simpler and perhaps more cost-effective for some of the community stations who don't have any budget at all, I guess.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's interesting that you say that, or it's coincidental. Mark and Mark from Clean Feed came across on Saturday and introduced themselves, because I'd never met them, and we had a really good chat. And it's always interesting talking to... I mean, people always say, oh, you're rivals. Other people refer to them as rivals. I don't refer to them as rivals. And yeah, in talking to such similar companies, you realise just what a similar setup it is. You know, myself and my business partner, Thomas, work remotely from each other and met each other out of a requirement to come up with the product. And I didn't realise they were very similar. They hadn't been working together until they saw the possibility of doing connectivity through an audio stuff through a web browser, and they found that both of their skills were useful to each other, and yeah, it's great what they're doing with Clean Feed. I see that they're really targeting themselves towards the podcast market now with multi-track recording and stuff, so it's great. We found our niche with ISDN and now the SIP stuff, and they've found their niche with the podcasters.
So where's the future for your SIP platform then? How do you envisage it going over the next 5 or 10 years?
I see us as being in a really good position to bring together all of the other codec manufacturers so that we can, as a community of manufacturers or developers, create a world where everything talks to each other, so that you're not, so that, you know, we're doing an interview now. The idea of not having to have that conversation and say, oh, can you do ISDN? Can you do, oh, we've got a Comrex, oh, we've got a Tyline, oh, well, that's not going to work, oh, let's just do Skype, or, you know, whatever it always ends up being. I see us as being the glue in the middle that makes all these things work together and offers the best practice so that this stuff, because most people listening to this podcast aren't that techie. They're radio people, right? And most radio people just want stuff that works, and that's what we want to offer with minimal conversations about codecs and formats and things, which, let's face it, are pretty tedious.
Yeah, I think that's back to what Dave said really before, isn't it, about just, you know, wanting to talking to the mic and concentrate on doing your show. And you guys with Playout One, you have all these extra bits that people can bolt on as well. So you can kind of complete station solution for streaming and login and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so we have two different products. One is the Pro Line, which is a monthly subscription, and everything that you would need to start a radio station is included in that. Or we have our Standard Line. We sort of say that Standard is aimed for the individual, whereas Pro is aimed for broadcast stations. So with Standard, yes, you can bolt on the different parts. Livestream, which we launched just over 8 months ago, has been really successful for us in providing, it's free. So you can actually, you know, start your radio station and hook up a free encoder. And if you would like to go to the Pro version, we would love you to go to that as well. And it includes some, you know, other things which is going to make your station sound better. So it can accept DSP processing. So I noticed that Hans is here from Stereo Tool. I think he was knocking around somewhere. So you can add that. You get stats in there. You can add multiple encoders, etc., etc. So we find that having the two products really does help us target those people who may just want to buy something off the shelf and own it, or we've got the customers who want us to keep developing technologies and keep on moving forward and give them things like WebVT. I was just going to say to Kevin, I think, you know, making things simple like this with IPDTL offers up the opportunity for more voiceovers to get involved, and, you know, not having to have like an ISDN line and stuff like that. It really does open up the opportunity. If you're at home and you want to start being a voiceover, you've got that technology and a simple way of doing it.
Right. And there's a fine line there, I think, isn't there, between, you know, say, oh, anybody can do this. It's easy. Anybody can do this. Just go and do it. And upholding professional standards. There's a real difficult balance there. But absolutely, making life easier for the people who are willing to put the effort into to ultimately act professionally has got to be a good thing.
Barrier to entry is no longer, you know, whether you can afford to put an ISDN line in. And that's what we try to do as well. Barrier to entry doesn't mean you have to go and spend thousands on a playout system. You can, you know, use one of our products or one of the other products as well that's on the market that people who are showcasing here that we've seen.
Well, talking about no expense spent, Roy didn't send me to Vegas, but you guys obviously got to go. So you've been having a bit of a wander around today at NAB. Phil and Dave, what have you seen that stood out for you? What exciting products have you seen?
Well, I'm going to pass the mic over to Phil because he's seen some really, really cool stuff. But I just wanted to say we walked past the RCS stand before, and those guys are really leading the way forward, I think. And it's fantastic to see some of the stuff they're doing with cloud-based stuff, and they really are innovating and leading the way on the technology. So I think we thank them for that, and it's great to see the new stuff they're bringing out. It really is fantastic stuff. But I know Phil's been excited with some of the hardware solutions, haven't you, looking at those?
I have, yeah. Thank you for that. I don't know what to say after that. I wasn't expecting you to think that. But yeah, it is great what RCS are doing and everybody else is doing. It's great. Which we're cheaper and just as good. Right, so moving on swiftly, I can say that going back to what we said earlier about hardware, transmitters, antennas, that kind of thing, I've always been interested in antennas, design and whatnot. And I know with lots of small or community radio stations in the UK, this mixed polarized thing we've been chatting about for a while, where the Lindenblad antenna has been the main kind of mainstay of community radio stations that recently have won licenses and had to spend, you know, the money on the Lindenblad slanted antenna system, which is quite a heavy antenna system. It's very good, but it's, you know, I think, please do correct me if I'm wrong, it's at least 18 kilograms in weight when you put it up, and the wind loading's quite high. There's a circular polarized antenna here at the moment. I think in the States they use them quite a lot. And again, up until recently, I don't think in the UK we've been allowed to use them. Showcasing here this year, OMB are around from Spain. And they've got a very, very cost-effective circular polarized antenna system, which is around 3 kilograms in weight, which means you stick that on a pole, it's not going to blow off. It's going to be very, very nice. And I'm actually quite excited about it. The price point was around €300, I think, which, to be honest, again, if you're looking at a Lindenblad, that's very good, but he's $1,200 to $1,500. It's a really nice design, and to be honest, I want to find out more about it for my day job, my other day job with Radio Newark, because we're not mixed polarized at the moment. So it's, again, it's not to want something for free. You need something that's, you know, you can afford. Just need something that you can afford and works. And there's plenty of that here. Obviously, as Dave says, there's lots of other things where you've got the latest Omnia equipment. So the Omnia 9, the Omnia 11, the Omnia Vault as a processor is incredible for the price. And what I love about shows like this is you can get, you know, stick a pair of headphones on and go for it. Nobody's pushing you. Nobody's saying, you know, hang on, you've had 5 minutes on that. You know, let somebody else have a crack. They're all just basically saying, you take your time. You have a look round, have a play. Any questions, get the questions over to us. And there's a wonderful sense of community here, Stuart. It's really, really cool.
I think everybody fell asleep then when you're talking about processors and transmitters. No, it's interesting stuff. Got very niche there, didn't we?
That will never go away. I love them. I've got an Optimod 8200 in my bedroom, right, which I bought off eBay for £400 about 5 months ago. It's an E3S, and it still works. You boot it up, it's straight on, and it sounds beautiful. So that's why I'll probably never get a girlfriend ever again. Because I'm in bed with an Omni, an Optimod. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes. So, and I think there's a lot of IP stuff going on. There's a big IP showcase been going on at NAB. Yes. And I think the move to IP technology, as Kevin's been talking about, is really a big theme of the show there this year.
Well, hasn't it got to the stage now where pretty much at some stage we've got to stop saying, oh, we're showcasing IP technology as if it's something new and exciting? You know, aren't we just there now? Isn't nearly everything IP? We still seem to be making a big deal of it like it's something new.
Yeah, I liked... there was some chaps over at the Arakistan that were doing some Dante stuff. And that's really cool because that literally is plug and play and offers lots of variety of different connectors, you know, and bits and pieces to get you started. So you can spend as much as you want, really, to get yourself up and running. But there's lots of stations I know now in the UK that don't have a single audio wire, you know, going between transmission to desk. They're all using, whether it be the Dante system or the Livewire system from Telos. I think we've come a long way in the last couple of years to create a standard, and it's fantastic to see it really starting now to become a standard.
Excellent. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast and thank you for talking about transmitters and processors, Phil, because I think there'll be some people got very excited hearing all that.
Yeah, good luck with the edit there.
No, it's all staying in. It's all staying in. Especially the bit about you never getting a girlfriend again.
I'm going to have to take it for a drink now.
And thank you to Kevin as well for hosting us on your live stream, because the podcast recording has been going out on YouTube Live as well as we've been doing it.
Yeah, absolutely, which means nobody needs to download the podcast now. It's you know, they've already seen it on our YouTube stream, badly vision mixed by me.
If they happen to be awake in the middle of the night, but there we are. Well, enjoy the rest of the NAB show, guys, and thanks for coming on the Radio Today programme.
Cheers, Stu.
Thanks, Stuart. Bye-bye.
Broadcast Bionics, solutions for radio, sponsors the Radio Today programme.
Well, normally here on the Radio Today programme, we would hear a recorded piece from James Cridland. I'm delighted to say, though, he's on to talk to us as live this week, because he's in Vegas as well. Did I mention, by the way, I'm not in Vegas, but everybody else in radio, it seems to be, is in Vegas. Yes. Yeah, so it's Monday when we're recording this. You've been having a bit of a wander around. What have you seen so far that's exciting, James?
Yes, I have. It's really interesting. So in Vegas, of course, is the NAB show. It's got over 10,000 broadcasters who are here. Quite a lot of white middle-aged men, it has to be said. But nevertheless, it's a really interesting, massive, great big trade show and a conference as well. And the trade show is in like many different halls. And I think you get a good view, a good understanding of what the trends are in the industry just by walking around and seeing what there is. So the last time I was here was about 3-4 years ago, and there were an awful lot of drones. And drones seem to be the big thing, because of course this is a TV event as well. Drones seem to be a big thing. This year, not so much. And I think actually probably this year, everything is just getting smaller. I think that's sort of basically how it goes. What I mean by that is home studios and things. So I'm seeing an awful lot of smaller mixers of, you know, home professional stuff that you would stick in your cupboard at home or whatever, so that you can actually do shows from home or shows from wherever you are, rather than, you know, hugely expensive studios. And there are those here as well, but you know, I'm really seeing more, you know, sort of small home stuff. So I just walked past a company making a little audio mixer for a podcast, you know, for podcasters, and that's a good example, you know. And it has two microphones and it has a, you know, a stereo fader, and that's kind of about it. And I think that that's a good example of where maybe some of the future is going to be changing, because not all of us, of course, go into massive great big studios every single day anymore.
And I think there's a completely separate kind of podcast hall as well, isn't there? So there are exhibitors who are demonstrating their stuff specifically to the podcast market is that big.
Yeah, I mean, it's a podcast pavilion, which is what they call it, which has about 7 or 8 podcasting companies there. So it's not massive, but it's much larger than it's been in the past. It's covering, you know, more of the. It's in a much better place, for example, as well this year, which it's not been in the past. So they're very happy. You know, I went down there earlier and saw, you know, the folks from Blueberry and the folks from Libsyn and Spreaker and all of the names who you would expect. So it's been interesting seeing that. But also, there's just literally over there, there are about 4 cars in here. And the reason why there are cars in here is it all to do with the connected car and making the radio experience better in a car. And that's been really interesting seeing. And I think this is also the first time that I've actually seen 3 people from Radio Player, one from the UK, one from Radio Player in Norway, and one from Radio Player in Canada. And it's the first time I've actually seen, you know, a multicultural set of folks representing Radio Player, which is a really interesting and nice, you know, worldwide industry platform. So that's been really good to see.
We've mentioned kind of podcasting, but what's the next big thing in broadcast technology from the stuff you've been wandering around and looking at? What's the thing that we need to be looking out for over the next few years?
Well, I mean, I think really it's making sure that radio works better in the car is the next thing that we should be focusing on and concentrating on. Because that's a very important thing. There's some research which is coming out tomorrow, but I've managed to see a little bit of it today that says a lot about how younger people, even in cars, are consuming less radio in cars because they're consuming more things. They understand how the Bluetooth works. They understand how to plug the phone into the car, which is a hugely complicated thing. And so actually seeing that has been really interesting. And I think that's sort of begun to get people's thoughts around how can we make radio a much better experience, you know, with logos, with automatic service follow, so that if your DAB signal goes, let's just pretend that might occasionally happen in the UK. If your DAB signal goes, particularly around, you know, the Yorkshire Dales, it would automatically skip onto the internet and then back again. That's
suggesting
a really
we've got an internet
thing.
Connection in the Yorkshire Dales.
Yes, a very old internet connection. That is, I think, you know, a really interesting thing. But just, you know, having a look around here, I mean, you know, people say that radio and broadcasting, you know, has been sort of falling away over the last couple of years. There's absolutely no evidence of that here. It's just as large, if not larger, than I remember it. So it's a good atmosphere here.
And last week on the podcast, you were talking about the whole situation with Google and Apple and public sector broadcasters kind of taking their content away from these external platforms and giving themselves some more control, taking back control. I think that's a phrase we use in the UK these days. A bit of an update since the last week's podcast, I think, as well, from reading what you've had to say about that from people you've been talking to.
Yeah, so it's been interesting. So so the BBC particularly have taken deliberately blocked Google from using their podcasts in the Google Podcasts app, which is the standard app if you use Android phones. What happened at the end of last week is that Google Podcasts found all of the podcasts again and started indexing them. Turns out that this is something that Acast had done, I gather, for their app. So it was never really intended for Google to actually find any of these feeds. So all of my podcasts reappeared again in my podcast app. I wrote about that in Pod News, and the next day they've all miraculously disappeared again. So there's clearly a little bit of sort of toing and froing there. But I think it's a really interesting and an important story. It's a story about where the future of audio content is going to be. Is it going to be open as podcasts have always been in the past, or is it going to be far more controlled in terms of, you know, pulling you into the BBC Sounds app or the iPlayer app or the iView app if you're in Australia or so on and so forth. And I think it's really interesting to watch and to see what happens there.
Well, enjoy the rest of NAB. It's good to actually chat to you rather than just hearing your voice on our podcast. And I think we need to get you to do your usual bit that you always do at the end for the final item on our podcast.
If I can remember what it is that I say. Oh, yes, you can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. And now, Stuart, on the Radio Today programme, here's David Lloyd.
You didn't even have that written down.
I never have it written down.
And we love it. Radio Moments.
He's 70 this week and one of the big names from early Capital.
Rita Coolidge, and we're all alone. It's 7:24 on Capital. Morning. Do you remember the two people who had a hit with You Don't Have to Be a Star? Marilyn McCoo, Billy Davis Jr. Well, I've got a track from their LP in just a moment. But first of all, let me tell you about something that's happening if you like reading books. You might like something to fill up your time if you're on school holidays. And maybe the Westminster City Libraries can solve your problem because they've got a bookworm scheme in which children of all ages are eligible to enrol.
Taking over from Kenny isn't the easiest thing in the world because he's a very loved creature. A sort of disc jockey, really. That's how I describe him. Had many fans. I was completely unknown, and so it was quite a job, really, to take over from somebody like that.
Graham Dean reflecting there in the 80s on his appointment to Capital, where he hosted breakfast for many years. He'd originally been on Radio City. Happy 70th birthday. Another Capital Breakfast Show host ended his run there this week 2 years ago.
That's it for your Friday morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is our last show together on Breakfast, and it is my last day here on Capital. George and Lila are still going to be about, though.
Yeah, still going far.
As announced earlier this year, I have decided that the time is right for me to leave the warm embrace of Capital Breakfast, and this morning was my final show as its host. I must say that being the custodian of this radio behemoth for the past 5 years is something that I'll always be extremely proud of. And during my time here at Capital, I have had the privilege of working with some of the best people I ever could have known. At the risk of making this thing like an hour long by naming everybody, you know who you are, and I love you dearly. I've also been very fortunate, I'd like to point out, to have laughed every day that I've been to work. So thank you, George and Lila, for that, and everybody else. And I'd like to thank the trinity of bosses, Ashley, Richard and Stephen, for giving me the opportunity to do so.
I always get the mention, don't they? Dave Berry hosting his last breakfast show at Capital this week in 2017. A hugely popular weekend Radio 4 programme was Home Truths with John Peel. It began this week in 1998.
So what happens to your weekends then?
I leave in the morning having put the washing in the machine.
So you have a job at the weekend,
yeah? Yeah, I tried working during the week, but the dog gets neurotic and eats herself, and it cost me £50 for the vet.
That sounds as though there's a story. And how much of herself has she eaten?
Her leg, basically. It's called something or other's lick. It's quite disgusting.
So, I mean, does she... sounds really almost more interesting than your daughter's. I don't wish to be insulting to them. But
the first edition of Home Truths on Radio 4 with John Peel this week in 1998. His producer recalls he wasn't particularly keen on the concept.
I remember we did this pilot, and Peel wasn't sure he wanted to do it, really. He didn't want to be on Radio 4. He just wasn't sure that he didn't really know what this programme was about. And we put one thing in the pilot, and it was an interview with an angler, and his big ambition was to catch this very old carp, this legendary fish. And also the fact that he believed the carp was so clever that he could hear the approach of the fishermen. So they used to park their car half a mile away because they believed that the carp would otherwise hear the slamming of the door, and they would crawl towards the... Once John Peel heard this and did this interview, he thought, OK, if it's going to be like this, I'll do it.
Thelma's condition doesn't, as far as we know, have a name itself, but perhaps it will after this.
I don't associate...
Yeah, John Peel was a legendary broadcaster already at this point, but he wasn't the most obvious person to do lots and lots of interviews. He once said to me that radio was the perfect medium for him because he was basically quite shy. And it meant he could talk to people down the line without looking in their faces, looking in their eyes. He basically believed it was a bit rude to pry into other people's lives, which isn't a very promising place to start if you're doing an interview.
Peter Griffiths reflecting on Home Truths, which began on the BBC this week 21 years ago. There are now hundreds of commercial radio stations, but originally there were just 19 in a network which was very suddenly curtailed as the government decided what on earth to do with commercial radio. The last of those first 19 began this week in 1976.
Broadcasting Authority tests transmission on 303 metres, 989 kHz in the medium wave band, and on 97.2 MHz VHF. These transmissions are in preparation for an independent local radio service for the West Midlands. Beacon Radio 303 will be going on the air shortly with programmes of music, news, local views and reports.
Genius of Eric Carmen from his brand new album, and that's Sunrise. Good morning, sunshine. This is Beacon, and it's 6.07.
West Midlands Gas present Super Cooker Savers, a spring collection of gas cooker bargains.
Beacon 303.
Did you realise that in the primary area alone, which of course is the four major centres, that is Walsall, Wolverhampton, Dudley and West Bromwich, that there are 18 different dialects? Now, how could I cater? I mean, I must upset somebody. So in terms of voice presentation, we've also gone for a fairly neutral English voice.
The risk of any rain should be over by 2 o'clock for all parts of the West Midlands, so if you want to put your washing outdoors, the weatherman says leave it until the afternoon. The maximum temperature, 10 degrees centigrade. You've been listening to Morning Report with Nick Utekin and Roger De Freitas.
Beacon Radio from Wolverhampton, which launched this week 43 years ago. Just love their logo. So, with the PM programme on Radio 4 launching this week 49 years ago...
The sound of the tables being turned in this first edition of the PM programme, the Home Secretary, Mr James Callaghan, will be getting his own back and interviewing me.
BCR launching in Belfast 29 years ago.
Friday, the 6th of April, 1990. I'm Rick Nugent, this is The Breakfast Show. And boy, are we going to have fun today.
TFM. Starting carrying the programmes of Metro 6 years ago.
On FM, digital radio and online, it's the new TFM with your new breakfast show, Stephen Caron, on Monday morning.
And as we prepare for Gwyneth's departure from Radio 4 in 2019, this week, 36 years ago, David Hatch took up that controller's post. And what was it Helen Bowden said about the role? You have to understand Radio 4 beyond your intellectual knowing. So, those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David, and our other regulars, James and Roy. Thanks too to Dave Briley-Jones, Phil Johnson and Kevin Leach at the NAB show in Las Vegas. And, of course, to you for listening. Next time, we'll find out about the Audio Content Fund and how you can apply for some public money to make a programme for your station. Join us for that.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.